You're listening to the Monocle Arts Review, first broadcast on the 2nd of March 2015 on Monocle 24.
Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Robert Bound. This is your daily appointment with our international critics and cultural experts. To find out the shows to see, the books to read and the music to listen to each week, today we're talking to our good friend Ossian Ward, head of content at the Listen Gallery here in London. He'll be walking us through a few exhibition highlights in New York and here in London, which include a lesson in cultural history at the Hayward Gallery, a look at what's on offer at the Armory Show this year, and a film about puppets reenacting crusades.
اتركوهم يخرجوا بكل ما يملكون ولا تمسوهم بسوء.
نحن قريبون جدا من طرابلس.
That is all to come here on the Monocle Arts Review. Stay tuned. Ossian Ward, head of content at the Listen Gallery. Welcome once again.
Hello.
Well, for the first time onto this show.
Yes.
But you're not a stranger to Studio One here at Midori House.
I'm here.
Thanks for letting me in.
No, it's fine. I'm here for longer than 3 minutes this time.
Yes, good, exactly. We can be a little bit more expansive. We've got 15 minutes
okay,
to play with.
Let's go.
So for the first topic, we have Wael Shawky. He's an Egyptian artist. He's got a show at MoMA PS1 in New York. It's called Cabaret Crusades. We had a little snippet of it in the menu
yeah.
there. We definitely need to elaborate on just some puppets.
Well, it's an epic trilogy, and that's not too grand a word for them, because they are three, well, depending on the length of them, but they're kind of feature-length films, each one filmed with a different kind of puppet. The first ones were borrowed from Turin. They were 18th century wooden puppets, very beautiful. The second ones were clay ones that he had specially made, and he made a lot of them himself. And the last one in this trilogy are all made from hand-blown glass in Venice. The idea behind each of these films is that they are reenacting battles from the Crusades, but they're taken from a different standpoint. So they're taken from a book by someone called Amin Malouf, who wrote a book about the Crusades through Arab eyes. So it's literally the Crusades, not seen from the point of view of us, the Christian
yeah.
West, saying, no, it didn't go quite so well, but, you know, there were some good things along the way. This is like, we repelled the infidels, you know, we held them back, we shoved them on, and it's a really complex story. So it's not a kind of simplistic, this is what happened, or, you know, he said, she said. This is complex characters, lots of kings, lots of bloody battles, lots of beheadings, lots of, you know, sort of fairly grim stuff, but kind of rollicking ride through, you know, a big swathe of kind of early history, but again, seen from very much from an Arab, Middle Eastern perspective.
لم يقتل هذا الرجل إلا لإساءته وخيانته، وسوف تنجو أنت ومعظم الأسرى.
And the idea that this action, and it sounds like swashbuckling, rollicking stuff,
yeah.
this action being played by marionettes, playing by old-fashioned string puppets, is that, I mean, people might be not smirking, but there's obviously an art history tradition of this, isn't there, of the use of these things. I mean, in terms of the history of entertainment, Punch and Judy and these sorts
yeah.
of things, and cautionary tales and moral tales and all the rest of it. Is that idea, maybe that's a Western idea, but infringe on a reading
yeah,
of this?
Yeah, I'd not thought about that, because when you watch them, you're fairly certain quickly on that they're very serious and they're kind of documentary almost. They're almost like they're acting out, you know, some passages like I've got here talk about the army leaving Cairo, this general swearing on the Quran that was the last frange, who are the Franks, the French,
yeah.
could be any Westerners, were being expelled. And the oath was impressive because he was a feeble man, but, you know, he sent the Mamluk army, and it goes on and on like that. So you're under no illusions that this is not a serious subject. But I think, again, with the puppets, Shawky has also employed previously kids to do the acting, let's say, and then the voiceovers will be of an adult. So, and we've seen that again before in Gillian Wearing or other
yeah.
videos where you sort of have this conjunction of child and adult. But I think he sees again the childlikeness as being something pure and unadulterated. So it doesn't have that layer of, is this for real? Is this acting?
Yeah.
Is this, you know, and the childlike nature of it, yes, it's kind of cruel and it doesn't diminish it, you know, by having them as puppets, but it gives you that sense that these are childlike games, but there's something serious going on and, you know, the violence is real.
And there's something spooky about this. I mean, as I mentioned, Punch and Judy, certain people... I saw that show at the Barbican that's on about artists' collections. Peter Blake's got an amazing collection of puppets, wooden puppets, dolls, and Punch and Judy sets, and they always terrify me, frankly. Yeah. And I'm not the only person. Does Shulkey's work? Does it come with that sort of strange fear of the unanimated marionette? If you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The one that sort of he's not asleep because his eyes are open, but he's not moving. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, I suppose when you see them in the vitrines, when they're not acting or shambling around or talking, then you look at them certainly as objects. Spooky, you know, yes, mysterious, difficult faces. Sometimes the faces aren't kind of classically beautiful. They're quite contorted. They're more or less like the artist's drawings. Sometimes they are based on early African sculptures or, you know, the reference points come from other places. So they look like a mishmash of things. They don't look like Punch or Judy or, you know, they look like they could have come from anywhere, any time, any country. They seem quite sort of, you know, mystical.
Well, that's a show to see. It's Wel Shulkey at MoMA PS1 in New York City. I guess we can sync fairly quickly and fairly easily between that and the Armory Show, which this year has a Middle Eastern focus, Ossian. The Armory Show is a funny one. Its fortunes wax and wane, don't they?
Absolutely.
So maybe you can tell us what we might look forward to this year.
Well, I think waxing and waning is interesting because, like London, you would assume it was the global centre of the art world. But when it comes to art fairs, you know, they've tended to revolve around Basel or Miami. So the idea that New York doesn't have a great fair seems weird. But yes, the Armory was for many years the biggest and the best. It kind of took over from Chicago. Now Chicago's back. And then another fair sprung up, Frieze New York. That sort of took some shine off it. So the Armory is in constant need of kind of rejuvenation and, you know, keeping up with the Joneses. But it's managed to do so, especially recently, by having a focus each year. I think last year was China.
Yeah.
And they had a very good curator.
They had Phil Tenari. Yeah.
Phil Tenari doing it. So, you know, they know what they're picking, and they're picking something that's relevant and interesting. So this year, the Middle Eastern focus is being curated by someone called Omar Khalif from the Whitechapel and, you know, sort of young, thrusting curator with great connections in the region.
It's an interesting thing just there as well. It's an art fair that happens to be in New York. Obviously, it's got a roster of international galleries, but we're talking about it and saying it is interesting because it has a curator from London and it has a Middle Eastern theme. I guess that's sort of the nature of the art fair, that it is necessarily international. It doesn't really necessarily drill down into the city in which it's placed.
No, and I think maybe the difficulty in having a fair in New York or London is the competition. You know, there's so much else going on. So they call it Armory Arts Week, and that means that all the big galleries are going to have their openings this week, next week, from March 5th to March 8th, roughly. And so it's a busy time. So in order to keep their heads above water, you know, I think all of these fairs need to keep something that will turn our heads, let's say. So yes, I suppose it's not New York Week about New York. It's New York focused on something else. But, you know, that's another way, I think, the idea that an art fair is just not, that's it. You walk in, you walk out, you've seen what you need to see. There's certain things you need to pick up on, whether it's like a special project or curated section, which, you know, sounds weird because an art fair is essentially a trade fair, but we do want to see something more than that. Otherwise, they get tedious because they're every 2 weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's Omar Khalif going to be bringing to New York? I mean, I like the idea of it. I think it's an interesting thing. And maybe, you know, there is Abu Dhabi Art, there is Art Dubai, which is on in a couple of weeks' time, isn't it? In the middle of March as well. They're good art fairs, but there's a lack of kind of dynamism about them. Maybe sometimes because of this, because the homegrown galleries are a little bit afraid of stuff that they might want to show.
Yeah.
Whereas maybe in New York they would be unfettered.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, some galleries take risks and some galleries don't. So it's nice to have these moments in a fair where you see something that's not wall-sized or domestic or made for your sofa or whatever.
Yeah.
So Omar's bought some interesting artists. A guy called Lawrence Abu Hamdan, who's actually, I think he's based in London, makes a lot of work with sound. And so he's making an audio essay, reading from what it says here, with objects that include things like crisp packets and, I think it will be a complex kind of involving work. And another piece by someone called Abbas Akavan that has had an iteration here that I saw at somewhere called the Delfina Foundation, which will be these cedar trees kind of built in almost like promenade, kind of maze-like way to lead you through the fair.
So that is the Armory Show. It's every year. It starts on the 5th of March in New York City, and it is curated this year by Whitechapel Gallery's Omar Khalif from London. And we're going to end with the Hayward here in London. Always interesting. What's happening there soon?
I'll begin before we end, because there's a wonderful section. You go into the exhibition, there's seven artists. It's called History Is Now. So they've all given their own take on, let's say, recent British history. The backdrop to this is we're nearing an election. Yikes. So, you know, I don't know whether that really works, that connection, but it's the hook.
Does it seem like do you get the feeling it's political? It's definitely politically engaged.
The first things that you see when you walk in is half a ton of coal, and then Maggie Thatcher's outfit from the recent film, from The Iron Lady.
Yeah.
But the neat thing about that is actually her slip or her blouse is kind of slightly suggestively placed on top of the jacket and the shoes. It's, Meryl Streep's outfit, but made a bit kinky.
Right.
And then you get the lump of coal. So that's quite an obvious statement, political. And then you go to a couple of brushes, and they were used to sweep up after the riots, it says. And then you get some more brushes.
These are the brushes that Boris Johnson was photographed with, brandishing like a crusader might 1,000 years ago.
And then you get a little video with these weird chimney brushes, and it's actually a Mary Poppins performance done when the artist who's displaying all these objects was a kid. So it's this guy called Simon Fujiwara, who's a kind of gender-bending autobiographical artist. So a lot of this is obviously kind of his filter of his time as a half Japanese, half English person living in Britain in this period. And you get some really other great bits and bobs there. So you get a Damien Hirst painting, you get a bit of a yuppie's balcony, and some Waitrose herb packets. Like a real sort of, so it's not political with a capital P, but it's very kind of interesting sign of the times kind of stuff.
And it sounds like an interesting take. There's an idea that it's maybe also a bit about taste.
Yeah.
As much as about, I'm thinking about it in the Grayson Perry area of taste as much as art. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's got a certain amount of that kind of humour as well. It's kind of brave stuff. And out on the sculpture courtyard, he's installed an enormous 1965 surface-to-air Bloodhound missile, which just sits there kind of ominously. I'm not quite sure it's pointing. It's not pointing towards Westminster. It's pointing kind of more like Westfield. I don't know what that says, but maybe it's just the positioning of it.
The lesser of two evils or the greater, who knows?
It's not really. I don't think the positioning is particularly relevant. But, and that was a great piece of British technology. None was ever fired in anger, by the way. These things were built at great cost. And there's all these kind of moments, a lot of literature in there. It's kind of creative. Look, it's the sort of thing you don't get when you ask a curator to do it. You get an artist's view, and suddenly you're like, oh, wow.
This is all the stuff that makes me do what I want to do.
Yeah, makes sense.
I love that.
And it feels different, and it's not like going to the Imperial War Museum or something. It's not didactic. It's kind of sparky, and it works with the art because he knows why the artists were doing what they were doing, because they were influenced by, what was going on. It's almost like drawing those invisible lines between how the art was made and what it was at the time that really sparked that off.
Yeah.
So it does work. It's a wonderful show, but lots to chew on, as long as it's not a mad cow infused
yeah.
burger.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that is History. History is Now at the Hayward Gallery on the South Bank in London. And that brings us to the end of this inaugural edition of the Arts Review. Austin Ward, Head of Content at the Listen Gallery, thank you very much as ever. It's been the Monocle Arts Review. I've been Robert Bound. My producer was Holly Fisher. Tomorrow, the chief music writer for The Times, Will Hodgkinson, will be taking his take on the week in music. But for now, thanks for tuning in.